Isolated storms are possible tonight. That's why we've issued a weather alert day. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione joins us now to talk more about the chance for more rain. Anthony.
Julian, we are still under that level one risk here from the Storm Prediction Center for most of our viewing area, but this is a very low end severe threat. We've seen actually the showers behaving on radar. This is where we sit right now. So let's get us over here to dual Doppler 5000. Very, very light sprinkles to the east of Wilson and Goldsboro as well. We saw some pushing through the Durham area earlier. Most of the triangles saw just a few light sprinkles. And then this is the heaviest coverage we're watching right now. Just to the east of Roanoke Rapids, maybe affecting I-95 as you head up toward the North Carolina-Virginia border. Over the next couple of hours, we still have that potential here from the Storm Prediction Center for a few stronger storms. Isolated instances of some gusty winds would be our primary threat here for us tonight. It would not surprise me, though, if they drop that severe risk here fairly shortly because the atmosphere, thankfully, has been behaving severe potential-wise. There is 9 o'clock this evening. We're looking pretty good. We bump it ahead, though. There could be another round coming through closer to midnight. That's really when the cold front itself is going to come through. And then we head into our Monday morning. It should be a nice quiet start here to the week, Julian, but we're tracking here some warmer temperatures and some sunshine here. I know it's going to be a welcome change here for most of us. I'll show you that here in a few minutes.
I always love to talk about sunshine.
Yes.
Thanks, Anthony. We'll see you later. Well, you can follow weather updates while you're out and about using the WRAO weather app. It's free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. It is a great device to have. Well, new tonight, this is the man arrested after a rideshare driver was stabbed in the face overnight. Toussaint Parks faces a charge of assault with a deadly weapon. That stems from an incident on Sarver Court in Raleigh. WRAO's Keenan Willard shows us the concerns neighbors are sharing today.
You can see on the street here still a bloody reminder of the violence that broke out here on Sarver Court overnight. Some people living nearby say it shows the kind of danger rideshare drivers can face.
Raleigh police say a Lyft driver was picking someone up around 2 a.m. here on Sarver Court. That's when an altercation broke out. Police say when the driver tried to intervene, they were stabbed in the face.
Just woke up to emergency vehicles, quite a few of them, lots of cops, fire truck, ambulance. And saw them loading up someone on a gurney.
RPD arrested 50-year-old Toussaint Parks, charging him with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Parks' family declined to speak with us about the incident. Some neighbors say this shows the dangers rideshare drivers can face.
It's not as easy as just driving people around, right? You know, I mean, you always have to be mindful, I guess, of who you're picking up. You never know who you're picking up and where they're going or why they're going there or anything like that. And there's, you know, certainly, I guess, inherent risks in that.
It comes less than 4 months after a man driving for Uber was shot and killed in Durham. Both Uber and Lyft have safety guidance posted online for drivers. Both companies say they've partnered with security company ADT to help drivers discreetly call for help in an emergency. And Lyft's site directs drivers to de-escalate conflicts whenever possible. Raleigh police haven't named the driver who was the victim of last night's stabbing.
I just feel terrible for the driver. It's an awful situation, you know, just trying to make some money and, and here they are, you know, in the hospital, right?
Heenan Willard, WRAO News.
WRAO reached out to both Lyft and Uber for a response to concerns about driver safety in light of recent violence in our area. Uber sent us this statement reading, quote, "We are deeply committed to the safety of drivers on the Uber platform. We have pioneered many in-app features that are widely utilized in the industry today, including an emergency button, ride check, and GPS tracking on every trip so that drivers can share their trips with loved ones in real time. Our efforts are geared toward raising the bar on safety, and that works for everyone." Now, we are waiting to hear back from Lyft as well. We will continue to follow up with that investigation. Well, a man is accused of shooting and killing his uncle in Moore County. Moore County deputies say 23-year-old Taheem Allbrooks is charged with first-degree murder. Deputies say they responded to the scene early this morning on Jean's Loop in Pine Bluff. They say they discovered 43-year-old Gregory Allbrooks shot multiple times. He later died at the hospital. Deputies say Taheem Allbrooks is being held in the Moore County Jail with no bond. He is scheduled to appear in court on April 26. Warren County deputies are investigating after they say a man was found dead on the railroad tracks. Deputies responded to a call in a remote area near Lakeview Community shortly before 10 a.m. and discovered the body. The deputies identified the man as 42-year-old Ashley Spivey of Sanford. Investigators have sent his body to the office of the chief medical examiner for an autopsy to determine the cause of death. We're working to learn more details about a crash involving a motorcycle in Raleigh. The WRAL Breaking News tracker arrived at the scene on Edwards Mill Road near Durley Road. You can see the damaged vehicles and a motorcycle on the ground. We're waiting to hear back from police about any injuries or charges. Goldsboro police say ShotSpotter detected gunshots on the 400 block of Brown Ridge Street shortly before 10:30 last night. When officers arrived, they found 59-year-old Aubrey Redding Jr. in the road with multiple gunshot wounds. He was taken to the hospital where he died. An investigation is ongoing. There are no details on a suspect yet. More deadly gun violence in Durham this weekend. The WRAL Breaking News tracker was on the scene at East Cornwallis Road shortly after 3 a.m. Police tell us a man was shot shortly after 11 p.m. last night. The shooting does not appear to be random. The victim was taken to the hospital with serious injuries where he later died. So far, no word of an arrest. And one person is dead, another in the hospital with life-threatening injuries after a shooting on Clarendon Street in Durham. The WRAL's Breaking News tracker arrived to find a mobile command unit there overnight and at least one vehicle that appeared to be sprayed with bullets. The road was closed between the intersection of Green Street and West Knox Street as police investigated. Wake County Sheriff's deputies and the Highway Patrol are investigating a bad crash on Morpheus Bridge Road in Wendell. The accident happened shortly after 3:30 this morning. Investigators were seen searching the area of the side of the road, but have not confirmed whether the crash was deadly. A fire truck was involved in a crash in Holly Springs this afternoon. It happened on Old Holly Springs Road in Apex. Police say a minivan pulled out in front of a fire truck, which was responding to a call. As you can see from the video, the minivan sustained heavy damage. The fire truck did not appear to be badly damaged. No one was hurt after all of that. The countdown to the puck drop is on. We are just over 24 hours away or so from the Hurricanes when they face off the Islanders for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. WRAL's Brett Neese is live in downtown Raleigh. Brett, how are the fans getting ready?
Yeah, Julian, Raleigh, they are ready for playoff hockey, just amped up for it. The banners, though, that usually line Glenwood, North Hills, they aren't quite up yet, but many of these businesses here on Glenwood South, along with other parts of downtown, they will be packed throughout the playoffs as long as the Canes are still in it, as people want to be together to watch playoff hockey. But I want you to take a look at this. These are some playoff banners that were put up around Raleigh, including in North Hills and at the entrance to PNC Arena, as well as on the side of the arena. Spoke with some fans downtown who say that they can't wait for game one.
Watching hockey, and then I came to Raleigh, and the fans are insane. I mean, I'm pretty sure this year they set a record for the most amount of sold-out games, and it's just incredible when you go. It's so loud.
They sure did set a record. 31 sold-out home games at PNC Arena. They only play 41, so that's pretty incredible. They had the highest average attendance for a Canes regular season in franchise history. They take on the Islanders tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Julian, we are ready for playoff hockey here in Raleighwood.
This is some great spots as well. Way to go to the fans. Brett Neese reporting live in Raleigh tonight. Thank you. Heads up to drivers in Raleigh. A major construction project begins on Glenwood Avenue tomorrow. Crews will be closing one lane on southbound Glenwood, beginning at the ramp from Glenwood to Wade Avenue. The project will move north on Glenwood, ultimately ending near Fifth Third Bank. Expect the lane closure to be in place from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. The project will take a minimum of 2 weeks, but could take longer depending on the forecast. Still to come at 6, a man is accused of murdering his wife. Coming up, when he is expected to be in court. Plus, the Black Farmers Market returns to the Bull City. Coming up, the goal of the event and how it is helping families in Durham.
Tomato, early tomato.
Look at those clouds right there rolling on in. We will talk to Anthony Moore in just a little bit about all of that. A Mooresville man is accused of murdering his wife, has a first court appearance on the charge tomorrow. 40-year-old Michael Matthews is in the Wake County Detention Center without bond. Police responded to the scene on Seagrave Place around 9 on Friday night. Officers say they found 33-year-old Karma Carr Nayburn with two gunshot wounds. Hoke County deputies charged a man with murdering a woman on Friday. Jalen Jackson is in jail without bond. The sheriff's office says he killed Ashanti Allen, who was found dead in the area of Nicholson Creek Games Lands around 5:30 p.m. that day. Deputies say they had actually detained Jackson earlier in the day after someone shot into a pair of homes. There were no reports of injuries in that incident. In addition to the first-degree murder, Jackson faces other charges, including shooting into an occupied dwelling. Detectives arrested a Garner man accused of attacking another man with a machete. Warren Young faces a charge of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury. Police say he attacked a neighbor with what's believed to be a machete around 8:45 p.m. Friday on East Main Street in Garner. Police say the other man was treated at the hospital for cuts to his head and hand and was later released. An alert for pet owners tonight in Chapel Hill. Listen to this one. Orange County Animal Services says a raccoon tested positive for rabies last week. Animal Services warns people to stay away and call animal control if you see a wild animal with the following symptoms: unprovoked severe aggression, appearing drunk, confused, or unable to maintain balance, and biting at the air or random objects. Officials are warning pet owners to make sure all pets are up to date on their rabies vaccinations. Republicans in the State House are expected to introduce new abortion restrictions sometime in the coming weeks. North Carolina currently allows abortion procedures up until the 20th week of a pregnancy, a law that's more lenient than many southern states. House member Tricia Cotham's recent switch from Democrat to Republican does give the GOP a supermajority, at least on paper. However, Republicans have yet to unify behind a specific proposal. Our NC Capitol team reports that the GOP will need to thread a needle to actually get new abortion laws passed. For a guide on the current laws and debate over new restrictions, visit nccapitol.com. Today, Durham Technical Community College hosted the first Black Farmers Market of the year. The market happened at the college's main campus on Lawson Street. There were cooking demonstrations, family entertainment, music, and food trucks. And the Black Farmers Market accepts SNAP benefits. Organizers say this isn't just about produce, but about identity.
One of our missions is to protect and serve Black farmers, to feed Black people produce directly from Black farmers and keep that alive.
If you missed it, don't worry. The market will be set up every other Sunday. Anthony, it looks beautiful right now in some places, cloudy in other places, and then it looks like it's just about to storm.
Yeah, it really has been kind of depending on where you live today, whether we've seen some showers in a place like Durham, for instance. We had a few light sprinkles and then the sunshine in some other spots. So we do have that potential, though, over the next couple of hours. This is still outlined from the Storm Prediction Center for a few isolated instances of some stronger storms. That would not be a tornado threat. It would not be a hail threat. It would mainly be maybe some gusty winds. But you also notice our eastern counties are no longer included in that. They've kind of trimmed this back. And like I said a little bit ago, it would not surprise me here over the next hour or so if they do take us out of this risk, because thankfully things have been fairly quiet as far as the severe potential. We have not seen any warnings today, which is great. Let's get us over, though, to radar for where we sit right now. So hit or miss coverage, very isolated in nature here right now. We did have a few light sprinkles just to the east of Goldsboro. It's kind of you blink and you miss some showers here showing up right now on the map. Heading up to the north and east there, I-95 looking pretty dry as we speak, but Roanoke Rapids, this is just to your east, pushing up to the north and east out of your area. Otherwise, we're pretty good to go here. This was really round number one. We have the actual cold front itself, which has sparked some of these light showers. That comes in later tonight. Futurecast continues to show there's 9 o'clock. The majority of our evening for most of us looks good. If you're headed out, let's say 8, 9, 10 o'clock or so, I would not cancel any plans. It's looking pretty dry here. We bump ahead, though, to around midnight or so. That's when we could get that another batch pushing through. You notice it gets out of here fairly fast, though. 4 a.m. as we head to that Monday morning commute, we will not have any rain to deal with. But right about midnight, if If you hear some of that rain coming down, that's the actual cold front coming through, and then it will push out of here, and it is going to set the stage for a really, really nice forecast here for really most of this upcoming week. So that's good. I'll show you that here in just a second. Here is where we sit right now in Clinton. You can see the flags blowing around just a little bit. We have the cloud cover out there, just a mix of sun and clouds right now. So it has not been cloudy for most of the day, which is good here. We've seen some breaks, some sunshine. That helps a little bit. And it has allowed those temperatures to warm up. We're at 76 in Raleigh, 80 degrees in Fayetteville and Clinton as well, 78 in Southern Pines. Those temperatures are not going to be an issue for us the next couple days. Heading into tonight, here is where we are headed. We're going to see scattered showers and storms mainly around midnight. They should be out of here as we head to, let's say, 3 to 4 a.m. or so. You will not need the rain gear tomorrow morning. Temperatures waking up, the upper 40s to the north, most of us low to mid 50s here around the triangle. It will be a fairly comfortable forecast to start tomorrow morning, and tomorrow in and of itself will be cooler than today, but still talking 70s. It's going to feel very comfortable. Head outside if you can. The only thing that might be a little bit inconvenient, it's going to be a little bit breezy tomorrow, but for the most part, I would plan to take lunch outside or just make plans tomorrow evening to take the dog out, something like that. I'll be good to go. Look at all of that sunshine that we have on the way. I'm so excited after the, you know, storms we had on Friday, the potential for us today to finally be able to talk about some sunshine and dry weather, right? We're at 77 on Tuesday, sunshine, 82 on Wednesday, another day of sunshine, feeling great. Look at those temperatures, though. They get very close, at least getting up to that 90 degree mark. I don't think we'll quite get there. 87 on Thursday, and or on Friday, rather. We're at 80 degrees on Saturday, and then potentially drilling some more showers and storms into next weekend. But for the most part, I'm loving this forecast beyond today.
Yeah, I am, too. It's been a while since we had straight sunshine for a little while.
Yeah, I made for an easy forecast here beyond the storms for us tonight.
Okay. Thanks, Anthony. Casey, it's never too early to get a quality win.
No, it's big time, especially actually we are almost in the middle of the season here for college baseball. And Duke baseball quietly putting together a pretty strong resume. Today, the Devils captured something that they hadn't done in 5 years. Plus, we get a vibe check on the Hurricanes ahead of tomorrow's big game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs next.
Exciting time. I think you can feel the energy building, and
he'll wrist one, he'll score! And of course it's the captain, Jordan Staal.
Well, hockey's always a lot of fun. And, I know the city's excited for it.
Still on foot, and he scores!
Basically a new season, new start, and you know, 16 teams made it to playoffs, and everybody started from the scratch.
Just back for Jarvis, and he scores! Oh, the patience of Joe!
Wait all year for this, and it feels like the year's flown by. So I think everyone here is excited to get going and excited to kick playoffs off.
Are you ready for this? Oh, I don't know about you, but we are definitely ready on this eve of round one, game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. Now the Canes, though, they're not happy to just be there because, you know, they've been a fixture in the postseason here in recent years, but that deep run has eluded them. So are the fellas feeling any extra pressure? Pat Welter takes it from there.
Do you still feel pressure if it's always there? The Canes about to begin their fifth straight playoff campaign. They are well aware of the expectations and the stakes.
The pressure level in the locker room hasn't changed at all. It's maybe more, you know, you guys, media, fans, all that, they maybe recognize us a little bit more.
There's always pressure. I mean, we're all trying to win the same thing, and it takes 2 months of hockey, so two months more.
Rod Brind'Amour's team taking on a different shape with a league-high 59 goals from defensemen this season, but in the playoffs, the Stars will have to deliver as well.
Try to help the team win any way I can, and scoring goals is part of it.
Honestly, I like the pressure. I want to show that I got something good to show up in the playoffs and play my game.
I asked Rod Brind'Amour if there's anything he's learned during the last few playoff runs that he hopes to apply to this one as a coach. And he said, not really. At this point, it's more about the guys in the locker room and their understanding of what it takes to play in these moments. He said it's his job to get them prepared and let them do their thing. Casey?
Thank you, Pat. They'll do their thing tomorrow, 7 p.m. at PNC Arena. To the Diamond, Duke came into the series at number 11 Boston College, number 2 in the country in strikeouts. And aside from that one inning yesterday, well, the Blue Devils pitching staff, they've shown their dominance. They're looking to finish strong in Chestnut Hill today. Ryan Higgins, he goes 5 solid innings in this one, allowing just one hit, no runs, and he fans 3. True freshman Andrew Fisher. He already broke Duke's freshman home run record on Friday. With the Devils clinging to a one-run lead, the ninth, Fisher adds to it with this monster three-run shot. Blows it wide open, and that's where James Talon comes in. He's allowed just one hit and 0 runs in his last 6 games. He slams the door here. First road series win versus a top 15 program since 2018. 6-2 the final. NC State looking for its first ACC series sweep of the season, and really would need extras. Tied at 4 in the 10th. Don Pulali pinch hitting, just 2 hits all season. And the junior, he comes through big time when his name is called, sending it to deep center. That's scoring the birthday boy. LeJames Gruber busts out the brooms, boys. 5-4 the final. Good to see that. The Packs kind of had an up and down season, Julian. So good to see them with a walk off today.
Yeah, and a sweep. How about that? All right, thanks, Casey, and thank you for joining us. Next on NBC Nightly News, was that college essay written by a computer? The new tool that can catch students using artificial intelligence to cheat.
What a moment for Pulali, a guy who has not had many at-bats.
I want you guys to use ChatGPT to help you along the way.